listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you. Are you Miller and Moulton? We made it to Friday. Thanks for doing it together here on the Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. It's been a good sports week.
It's been a great sports week, and then football coaches started having press conferences.
Man, oh man. For those that are fairly new to the show, I do a little bit of work with the SEC on CBS. They get one primetime game a year. And, of course, Alabama's involved. It's just a matter of which opponent that Alabama has that you're going to put at 8 o'clock at night. And Mark always at the beginning of the year, because, you know, a couple times Mark's come along and, you know, we do the weekend thing together and it's a lot of fun. And so Mark's like, listen, what do you think the primetime game's going to be this year? And before yesterday, I really thought it was going to be Bama, LSU, and Baton Rouge. Brian Kelly, LSU, it's in November. They prefer to have their primetime game in November instead of October. Yeah. I'm guessing it's October 8th in Tuscaloosa when Jimbo and the boys come to town.
Not a doubt in my mind. That was determined yesterday. We're done.
Oh, my goodness.
When the booster run turns into an emergency press conference from the guy you assassinated and attacked, I mean, wow.
Nick Saban not only held an emergency presser yesterday, Nick Saban went on the ESPN college radio channel on Sirius XM Radio to try to talk specifically to people who only care about the feud. In what our former producer John Cassio tweeted out, has to be the greatest single booking that channel has ever had, to have Nick Saban on at 4:30 yesterday afternoon. In which it was ironic that he went after Dion a little bit because he was backpedaling faster than Dion. To a point, though. To a point. He backpedaled, I'd say, the first 20 yards. And then he put his back foot into the ground and he said, no, the safety takes it from here. I'm not going any further than this. I still think the whole thing sucks. And we're doing it wrong. And that it's not being done right. But I'm sorry to Jimbo and Dion. Specifically Jimbo.
Yeah, I don't
wish
think
he'd
Jimbo
take
much
my call.
Cares. I don't think Jimbo much cares. You know, I liked what Dion said. You know, don't make a private call when you take this public. I agree with Dion's statement in its succinctness completely. Don't make a private call something you took public.
Jimbo was asked, and first off, Mark, if you're into college football at all, what took place yesterday, I think's damn near unprecedented. I'm trying to remember in the last 20, 30 years when something like this has happened.
Put it this way, we applied to get to SEC Media Days yet, because I now want to go.
And we haven't wanted to go to Hoover, Alabama in about 10 years.
All I'm seeing is the scene in The Godfather when Bruno Tattaglia and Don Corleone meet and hug in the middle and they have the peace. I'm envisioning that with all the coaches at the table at the SEC dinner. And I don't know who it is that gets up to broker the peace that's actually the traitor. It's probably Brian Kelly.
Wait, no, he just got here.
I understand.
I think it should be Lane. I think it should be Lane because that in and of itself would be spectacular. Well,
okay. But I thought Brian Kelly in his fake Southern accent brokering the peace between Jimbo and Nick would be perfect for the SEC meetings.
I just want, and what they stand up and they say, and you will get what, and they start naming players by name, and you will get this defensive tackle from Mississippi, and you will get this, and you will get this, and we will make sure there are no drugs near the schools. Are we in agreement?
Tattaglia lost a recruit, and then I lost a recruit. Before we all start losing recruits, peace is what we need in the SEC.
I don't think we could get Jimbo to show up right now. I don't think we could get Jimbo to show up.
Not a chance. But with time, and you know, after a few people are hit and we go to the mattresses, David, I think by the time these meetings come, we can rectify things. I don't know. They are going to be delicious.
Of all the questions that Jimbo answered yesterday, my favorite one was, well, has Nick called you? Yeah, he called. I'm not interested. Might be my favorite answer out of all of them. And
we've got some for you. Don't worry. We will have more on the feud. Bill King going to join us in about 30 minutes. The voice of college football to discuss his thoughts on the feud between the A&M coach and the Bama coach that has Greg Sankey issuing press statements of apology for both.
Well, I mean, no offense, though. I understand, you know, you're pounding the table yelling, Jane, you ignorant slut, but come on, you got public reprimand and rebuke. God, please.
David, he is typing, he is dictating that to the secretary, whoever's typing out, and he is laughing so hard going, looking at his number two going, we own the summer too. We own the summer. We got it.
And he's probably dictating it on a boat somewhere on a lake anywhere from Georgia to upstate New York. Wait, what happened? Could you get me up to speed? Oh, man. Sounds like I'm going to have to say and do something about this, huh?
Public reprimand, David. Public yep. reprimand. That is where we go.
And show them. Yeah. People were equating it with the Yarborough Allison fight in NASCAR in 79, in which Bill France then, you know, fined and, you know, I'm going to reprimand. And apparently when they got together in Daytona, he said, you know, I should hug the two of you for all the publicity it got NASCAR.
But I'm going to reprimand you instead.
Right. And word, legend has it, those two never paid the fine because NASCAR just publicly said they were fining them and privately said, yeah, don't worry about it. In fact, we should give you the money. Oh, boy. Speaking, though, of voices of college football, how about this? In one offseason, in the state of Florida, the longtime voice of the Noles and the longtime voice of the Gators hang it up. First, it was Gene, and then the announcement yesterday, Mick Hubert. What, this coming weekend, the baseball series, and that's it?
He can't endure another football season right now.
Oh, stop it.
Doesn't want his last season to be 7-5.
What, 33 years? 89. So Gene went all the way back to the mid-70s, and Mick went back to the first year of the George Herbert Walker Bush administration. Pre-Spurrier.
Like I said, he doesn't want to do this again. He did it once when he started. Enough, damn it.
I think he was quoted as saying they're retiring to Sarasota. And he said, people will forget me in about 15 minutes. And I'm Ooh. Thinking, not if they're a Gator fan. They
not
won't.
Not if they're a Gator fan, Mick. No damn way.
So college football is going to sound very different in these parts, Mark, this
man,
fall.
Oh man. Safe to say it'll be a little more boring on Saturdays
Absolutely.
Listening to the radio.
Absolutely.
But what was Miller. Not boring last night, David, was the end of the Sunshine State series?
Oh, my goodness. Of course, it went to overtime, right? They played deep into the night. I mean, with just a few seconds left, you know, the puck was at the blue line, about ready to be chipped out, and we're going to OT at 1-1, right?
One good pinch holds it in, and one just horrific defensive play by the Florida Panthers. You're taught at a very young age to stay in front of the goaltender when you're the defenseman, at a very young age.
Yes.
I mean, this
I'm
not messing around here. When one defenseman has a player, the other defenseman stands in front of the net. This is something you're taught at the most basic level of hockey.
Yeah. Yes.
This is something I was teaching 6 and 7 year olds when I coached, David. This is not anything. This is such an incredible mental error by the Panther defenseman. He leaves his man wide open in front with the most skilled forward that Tampa has behind the net with the puck. All he's got to do is flip it out.
Instead, great pass, great shot. Bob didn't have much of a chance. And the Lightning do it to the Panthers again. We're getting close to Pedro territory, aren't we? Who's your daddy? We're getting pretty close.
We're getting eerily close, David.
In fact, I was thinking it as they were skating off the ice last night. So Tampa Bay, which 4 games ago was trailing in the third period and trailing 3-2 in the series, and was hanging on for dear life in overtime of Game 6 against the Leafs as the Leafs were buzzing for 17 and a half minutes. Obviously, escape death against the Leafs and now come to South Florida and hold one of the highest scoring teams in the league to one goal twice.
Panther power play is still missing in action.
What, 0 for 4? 0 for 25 now in the playoffs? 0 for 25! That's unbelievable. Come on, Mark. That's unbelievable. 8 games, 25 power play. You would think a puck would go in off the other team's skate once.
Hey, to go 0 for a series and win the series is remarkable in and of itself, David.
And the Lightning. Man, oh man, some of us, and I mean me, somehow, some way, forgetting that they have the heart and the skill of a champion.
We still have golf and basketball to get to. Bill King will join us in 25 minutes. We thank you so much for listening to Miller and Moulton right here on the Florida Sports Network.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour, top of the morning to you. Happy Friday, Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. This is our last show before we go global, right? We become an empire?
Right. With Howard Dean, we're going to Michigan. We're going to Ohio. We're going to be in Florida.
Woo! Shortly thereafter, we never heard from him again. It could be the same with Miller and Moulton. Simulcasting next week on a half a dozen stations in Michigan and apparently a TV station in Ohio. I don't know why they would do that.
But... and a flame-throwing AM in Toledo as well, David. Don't kid
yourself. Oh, love me a hot rocking flame-throwing AM. Love it. Just like 1070 The Zone in Port Charlotte.
That's right.
Don't you kid yourself.
That's right. Well, David, as you probably could surmise being in St. Louis that far away, that mood in the studio is not as good as normal days today. I'm exactly the same. I'm fine. I got my coffee. I got my water, showered.
Right.
Happy Friday. You know, gave the daughter a hug. It's my son's birthday today. So I'm in a great mood. On the other side of the glass, however.
Right.
He's resorted to we. He's told me to shut up, and I think he's told me to F off at least 6 times this morning when I've been giving him a hard time.
Wow.
He's not taking this well for a game two.
Man, young Felipe coming into his own here. I like it. But suck it up, Buttercup. This is what happens in sports. Your team loses sometimes.
It's fine. Right. It really is fine.
I can tell. Your voice completely meets what the words are. I mean, they're an exact replica.
Right. You don't sound like you're about to openly weep at all. No, you're good. By the way, this is game two. All right. Usually you sound like this when you lose a game five to fall behind 3-2, and then you have to go on the road. That's usually when you sound as sheepish as you do right now.
It's no big deal. The Heat have to win one of the next two in Boston. They're fine.
Yeah, come on. I mean, what? You were 7-0 at home, right? Come on. You're due to lose one. Played a good team. This stuff happens.
But they had everybody back last night, and they looked a little differently than they did in game one.
Oh, yeah. You mean the Celtics?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was funny, too, because the first about 5 minutes of the game, they looked like the same team from game one.
Well, they looked like the third quarter team from game one.
Yes. And, you know, the Boston coach calls timeout and basically is like, listen, is this it? Is this all we got? Because if so, I can go home and watch the rest of this series on television, okay? You know, get your heads out of your you-know-what and play some ball. And from that moment, they played some ball.
Did they ever. And Jimmy Butler is the only Miami Heat player that decided to play ball against them once again.
Right. Once again, he shows up. He shows up, and it's just a matter of how many of his teammates join him. And last night, the answer was zip, zilch, nada.
And Hero, who was so good in game one, was literally a zero in game two.
He was a hoagie, is what he was. Hello!
Don't do that to Hoagie. Hoagie played pretty well yesterday. Don't kid yourself.
Hey, I'm not going to make fun of Hoagie. He's from Fargo. Grew up in Fargo. Love the guy. Are you kidding me? If I could have one of five guys win the PGA, he'd certainly make the cut. But Celtics by 25. They led by 25 at the half. They shot 51% for the game. They shot 50% from the arc. I will say this. If you're going to make 20 out of 43s, there aren't many basketball teams you're going to lose to. And that includes the 96 Bulls.
There's been so many blowouts in the playoffs this year. I think that the NHL playoffs have been more exciting.
They always are, Felipe. I mean, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but they deliver every year.
No, but for me, the diehard basketball fan.
Yeah, this is the first year you've watched hockey playoffs.
Well, as attentively as I have, yes.
Yeah. Welcome.
Welcome. Feels good.
Yeah, there's plenty of room.
I watched that Calgary game the other night. It was amazing. So many goals.
Look at this. We are transforming a young man here right before our eyes.
Before you know it, he'll be rooting for the Lightning.
No,
and give up
never.
His Heat fandom.
Never. Never.
So Eastern Conference Finals, and outside of Felipe, I think most of the rest of us thought it would be 1-1 going to Boston. I think most of us think this is a 1-1-2-2 series, and then, all right, we'll see who can win 2 out of 3.
And I think it's going to be 1-1-3-1-3-2 when Boston wins in 6.
Oh, okay.
And that's how I mean, when I picked Boston winning in 6, that's kind of how I envisioned
it. That's how you envisioned it? And I pictured it 1-1-2-2, and then the Celtics win in 6. Because Boston's now 5-2 on the road in the playoffs. And think about who they've played. I mean, they played Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and Miami. I mean, you know, that's 71% on the road against those three teams. That's pretty good.
That's really good. Much like Rory's 65 yesterday was really good. Look who had a Thursday, David.
Mark, think of his last two rounds in the majors. A bogey-free 64 to finish second in the Masters. And then, I mean, he played 14 bogey-free holes yesterday till he made a couple coming in. And I'm thinking to myself, Rory hasn't played like this in the majors in at least 8 years.
And his putting, which gets criticized from time to time, he's the best short putter in the game. I mean, he's gone like months without missing a 3-foot putt.
And he made some mid-range putts yesterday, although, you know, he also he had a lot of stuff that was not even mid-range. You know, Rory had, I think, more eight-footers for birdie than it seemed like the whole morning group combined. But he is beautiful to watch. And when he gets it going, Mark, he's like Steph. You just think to yourself, wow, no one is as pretty of a player as Curry. And when Rory can make a few putts, he is just effortless around a course.
Hits the ball so incredibly high that he is able to get shots into these greens that others cannot. And a terrific round yesterday. I was the one that said I would not bet on him. I hope he wins. I hope I'm dead wrong. I like to root for Rory. So great round by him, and hopefully he can keep it up.
And arguably a round, even though on the score sheet it's not as good, but considering when he played, Justin Thomas able to put a 3-under 67 on the board, and he did so playing late. Everybody else on the leaderboard, Zalatoris, Hoagie, two of the three guys at 3-under, most of the guys at 2-under, they all played in the morning. JT played late and was able to sneak in a couple late and post a 67. That's a really good score.
The way the winds were blowing and the way things changed in the afternoon, David, you're darn right, that's a good score. We'll see how the morning group does if the winds are the same this afternoon, if anybody comes back to the field. But the one stat I had heard yesterday, I was driving around a lot listening to a lot of PGA radio, David. You know me.
By the way, how does it compare to NASCAR radio, MRN?
David, I am very guilty of a sick problem. I love PGA radio. Love it. But I believe it's the last 14 majors. Unless you were within four of the leader after day one, you didn't win. So if you're not 1-under or better right now, based on recent history, you're in a lot of trouble.
So we got 26 guys then who can win this, because that's how many were under par. So out of the field of 156, you can just put a line through 130 of them based on the last 14 majors. That means no Scheffler at 1-over, Spieth at 2-over, Rahm at 3-over.
Bingo.
And apparently Rahm hit a tee shot on the third hole that hit Sage Steele in the face. And she's supposed to be on ESPN today, leading into the golf coverage. Want to see what she looks like or if she's on the show.
Wow.
Yeah. One golf reporter tweeted it out. One. Miller and Moulton. The great Bill King to talk about Nick versus Jimbo.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
I'm going to tell you one thing. You can call me anything you want to call me. You ain't calling me a cheat. I don't cheat and I don't lie. So I learned that when I was a kid. If you did, the old man slapped you side of the head. Maybe somebody should have slapped him. That's one thing you don't. Now you're fooling with their name. That don't. If you're with Texas A&M's name, you're saying with those kids' name and our name.
Have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
Miller and Moulton here on the Florida Sports Network. That was Jimbo yesterday. That was part of a remarkable presser. Bill King has seen and heard a lot in his years as the voice of college sports. Mornings on the Nashville Sports Radio Network. He's kind enough to join us right before his show. You can follow Bill on Twitter at Bill is King. Bill, it's David and Mark once again. We're always thankful for your time. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good to be with you.
Okay, you've been doing this a while in these parts. We ever have anything like this? And if so, when?
Tell you what it reminded me of. It reminded me, remember during the steroid crisis in Major League Baseball, and they were at Congress, and Rafael Palmeiro was sitting there looking everybody in the eye, confidently saying, I never took steroids. I can guarantee you, lying, that's what we just heard. Now, everybody's lying, not just Jimbo. This isn't anti-Jimbo. It's just everybody's lying. here's where we're at. We've got a disaster, which is name, image, likeness. We have a governing body, the NCAA, that doesn't govern anything anymore. And we have people tampering with players due to the freebie transfer rule, which is due as well. And we have players getting paid and tampered with, and there's a lot of money out there. Texas A&M has been a good recruiting program through the years, but never like the one we just saw. Those players were bought and paid for, but it's legal. And even if some of the tactics were not what you're supposed to be doing, like promising money for play, which you're not supposed to be doing, it's not being adjudicated, so it really doesn't matter. But everybody's lying. Nick's lying, Jimbo's lying, they're all lying.
Is Nick in danger of exposing some of the dirty secrets of Alabama, of being this public and going after others?
I don't think so. Everybody's culpable. Anybody that's playing the name, image, likeness game, and you've got boosters who run each school's collective, I don't think that anybody's perhaps more illegal than others. I think Jimbo's really, really mad. Those two used to be really close. Matter of fact, you could argue, of all of Nick's former assistants, his favorite one of all time is Jimbo. Now, obviously, there's a problem there now from that audio clip, and maybe it doesn't get healed, but I don't know. I don't think so.
Bill, why would Nick publicly air his laundry like this? And I understand he was talking to a bunch of Alabama boosters, but then doesn't he have to do something which you're not supposed to do, but Nick could get away with it, which is say to that media outlet, yeah, I'm sorry, you can't come in here and tape this. I mean, he had to know in this day and age, you can't say something at those luncheons anymore and it stays in those rooms.
True. And I guess the lesson is even the best who's ever done it can pop off a little bit too much and then realize, wish I had just said that. That's not like Nick. Nick's pretty reserved. Now, he's not afraid to speak his mind, but normally there's no backlash over it, right? Or very few people are going to come back at him over this. And I think, I'm not even sure what he was saying, and he knew what he was doing, meaning he knew the damage that could be caused by doing this, meaning make Jimbo really, really mad. Look, Jimbo is a West Virginia redneck, okay? Again, I like Jimbo. Don't take that wrong. Jimbo is one of those guys who, in the bar, will fight you. That's Jimbo. And Nick poke the bear, and not Bear Bryant, but Jimbo a little bit too much there. That's what just happened. That's exactly what just happened.
Should make the SEC Media Days a ball coming up here in not too long a time.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you know, Bill, is there any way in your estimation to put the genie back in the bottle with NIL? Is there, because it seems that all this would bring, if they try to curtail it all, is more lawsuits, Bill.
No. You can't. Once you start expanding the playoffs, or you go to playoffs, the only conversation you can have is how many more we're going to have, which is where we're at with that one. Now, again, they're going to expand. Everybody's in a big fight. And I know that's not your question. But once you decide everybody gets paid and you can go out there and hustle your name, you can't reverse it. And that would be like saying, is there a way to take some toothpaste that got out of the tube that I didn't need, but I may need next week? Is there a way to put it back in the tube? And the answer is no. There's no way to put it back in. We're in a big mess right now. And the bigger mess is we have a former governing body that's not governing anything. The only thing they do now is put on a tournament. They do that pretty well, right? The NCAA basketball tournament, they do that pretty well. They don't do anything else well at all. And they gave up a long time ago policing, governing, and this notion that now, what was it, about a week ago, Pat Forty and some others said that they heard from some NCAA people that they were going to double back and start looking into this. That's laughable. That is absolutely laughable. That'd be like Barney Fife coming back and saying, you know that gun I was always kind of really scared of that I used on the show? It's real. I'm going to start using it now. It's laughable.
Well, we said the NCAA a couple of weeks ago, we said they've been reduced to event planners. And we're glad that you feel the same. So should, quite frankly, all the coaches just suck it up and stop whining, stop complaining? This is your new reality. Deal with it.
Well, I mean, it'd be nice, but I mean, think about it. Everybody's competitive. Everybody's trying to get an edge. Everybody's trying to improve the roster. Look, they can sit there and complain, but you have just now added a way to circumvent recruiting high school kids by the transfer portal. And think about it. Transfer portal is way more reliable because you already know what this player does in the college game. There's not the speculation about some high school kid that played at a double-A school that you think might be good, but you're not sure because he's never done it on that level yet. In the transfer portal, you know what this kid can do. And basically, you've handed the best that's ever done it, Nick Saban, a way to poach teams at the end of the season when he's got some areas on his roster that he needs to mend, like Jahmyr Gibbs at Georgia Tech and the wide receiver Burton at Georgia and the offensive lineman at Vanderbilt and the first-round draft pick out of LSU at cornerback, so on and so forth. You basically handed the best guy ever a way to tamper and go get players from other places. How about Jordan Addison? I mean, this guy's the Biletnikoff winner and has everything you can imagine going for him. Announces right before May, I'm in the portal. Everybody thinks and knows it's Southern Cal. He sits around and waits for the money, and he gets it. Now, you saw the announcement yesterday. No. These guys are all popping up publicly, but they're all complicit.
Do you think, Bill, that they'll be able to put some windows on the portal? I mean, it doesn't sound like anything had happened with the collectives. You and I, we all agree on that. But limiting the time of the transfer portal, will that help at all?
Yeah, right now it's what, 9 months? You get August 1 to May 1. And there's discussions about maybe linking it, syncing it with signing day, the two signing periods, maybe a two-week period. There's another idea about giving it maybe 3 months. But, yes, I do think they're going to limit that. I do think they're going to narrow the window on that to where it's not so expansive and you're, heck, almost, what, 75% of the year you're wondering who's transferring. Now, frankly, for radio, it's really good. I mean, for us, that stuff's good. That stuff's juicy. That's a lot of meat on the bone. But I do think perhaps something will happen with that, yes.
Bill, we always appreciate your time and your insight, but we know you have a show to get to, and we want to be respectful of that. All the best. Enjoy the Memorial Day weekend and July 4th, and hopefully we can catch up before the start of the season.
Yeah, man. Enjoy it. Thank you, guys.
Bill King. He's been the voice of college football for a long time in the South. He is heard predominantly in the state of Tennessee. Nashville is where he is based. You can follow Bill on Twitter at BillIsKing. Bill is King.
That's the perfect Twitter handle.
In the Twitch chat room here, a suggestion that with everything that's going on, or basically, are we going to get to relegation in college sports? really what we've been talking about happening for a decade now, which is apparently within a decade of it really happening, is the haves breaking away from the other haves.
It's more
and turning them into have-nots.
Right. It's more different. It's a little different than regulation. It's more of creating the Super League. I really think that's what you're going to see, is you're going to see however many, David and I have speculated at 48 teams would start their own league. And that seems to be the next area where they could go.
The thought by those in the industry is that first they're going to expand the playoff from 4 to whatever, 8, 12, whatever it's going to be. And they're going to negotiate that contract, whether it's with ESPN or what is now likely to happen is they're going to follow the NFL model. They're going to bring other networks and streaming services into it because they'll make more money that way. So then once they get that settled and they sign a however long a contract it is, then as that thing is playing itself out near the end of it, then the 130 teams that we have playing Division 1A football now, we're going to have a breakaway. And it's going to be somewhere around 48 to 60 that are going to say, yeah, you guys, you could do your own thing. You could team up with the FCS people. We don't really care, but we're done with you. And then they're going to go do their own thing. And that's not just Miller and Moulton saying that back in 2012. That's now the AD at Notre Dame and the AD at Ohio State and Dabo Swinney and conference commissioners who actually could make this happen. They're now saying that's what's going to happen.
The only thing we can make happen is a golf tournament on June 11th. That's about the limits of Miller and Moulton. David can slide some cards to a few guys and they'll say some things on occasion, but really we don't control a whole hell of a lot. June 11th, we do have a little control over that. It's at West Bay. Go to floridasportsnetwork.com to sign up. Tournament brought to you in part by Southwest Florida Golf Carts, Twin Peaks, and Budweiser. Saturday, June 11th, floridasportsnetwork.com to sign up.
And obviously, since we were able to get Bill King, we normally do the starting five. We will probably get to that sometime in some way, shape, or form during our 7 o'clock hour.
I think we just push it back an hour.
Do it at 7:38 instead?
Why not?
Okay. Sounds good to me.
You've done the homework. You might as well use it.
Yes.
You created the cheat sheet, in essence, is what, you know, and a lot of work goes into a cheat sheet.
Had the homework done before I knew Bill King was coming on. So it's like, wow. Yes, but Bill also mentioning one of the things that was going to be mentioned in the starting five, that Jordan Addison finally did, in fact, transfer from Pitt to USC. So we had both parts of everything that is exploding in college football out in the open yesterday. Jimbo and Nick concerning NIL, and oh yeah, that whole transfer portal thing, the best wide receiver in the country last year leaving Pitt for USC.
Well, his quarterback was taken in the first round. He needed someone better to throw him the football in his final year.
Yeah, that's basically. Oh, yeah, and they can actually give me a little something-something for the effort, too. In fact, they'd give me a lot of something-something for the effort.
Oh, you got that right. Now that USC is back in the football business, they're going to be good at it pretty quickly.
Right. I mean, even the folks at Oklahoma are like, wow, we think we're pretty serious about football, but they're really serious about football there. You think Oklahoma and Texas are looking at their entrance to the SEC a little differently these days? Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network.